We're starting, or actually coming back, a sermon series ng Book of Romans. Sinimulan po natin ito in 2019 and ended in April of the same year. The hopes was to once again go back to sermon series na ito in 20 until pandemic came, and the elders, or I even, had thought na maybe we could have a different direction pagdating sa sermon. So right now, we're jumping right back sa Book of Romans, okay? Ang Book of Romans ay may unique na katangian that has greatly impacted Christians throughout time. Kasama na po rito yung mga reformers, kagaya ni Augustine, John Calvin, Martin Luther, at marami pang mga taong in-impact ng libro na ito, hindi lamang noon kung hindi sa panahon natin ngayon. Si Apostle Paul ang nagsulat ng liham o ng libro na ito, at sinulat niya ito noon siya po ay nasa Corinth. Ang church sa Rome ay congregated ng both Gentile at saka Jewish Christians. Nung time ni Paul, ang mismong Rome ay tinatawag na epicenter ng Roman Empire, central ho siya o capital. Now, sa loob ng church na ito ng Rome, nahahati po sa dalawang grupo, which is yung nabanggit ko nga, yung Christians na Jewish at saka yung mga Greek na Christians. And as expected, there were tension between itong dalawang grupo na ito. Okay, ang mga conservative, law-observing na mga Christian Jews between yung mga Gentile Christians na walang kaalam-alam pagdating sa Mosaic Law. So yun ang somehow nagiging point ng tension. Now, obviously, yun ang isa sa mga reason kung bakit sinulat ni Paul yung liham na ito. Well, I'll give you three reasons why na sinulat niya ito. First of all, to teach God's righteous judgment on sin and the hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings sa mga tao who are in sin. Pangalawa, he wrote this letter in hopes na magkaroon ng unity yung dalawang grupo na ito. And yung basis ng unity is the very message that he champions, which is the gospel. Third, pinalalakas ni Paul ang mga Christians sa Rome kasi pinaprepare nila ito to go on a mission sa Spain. So yun ang isa sa mga reasons. And fourthly, ang heart ni Paul is to see God's glory displayed sa church na ito. As many Gentile Christians are called to God in a saving way. So that has been the purpose of him writing itong letter na ito. All of it ay para sa kaluwalhatian ng Panginoon or for the glory of God. Sa chapter 1, na-introduce ni Paul ang gospel at kung paano ito naging bahagi ng kanyang buhay at pag-iisip. And tells us that the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. It is the righteousness of God revealed. Yun ang sinachampion ni Paul, which is yung main theme ng book na ito, sa chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Tapos he explained na ang galit ng Diyos ay nananatili sa lahat ng mga unrighteousness, and he addressed the immorality ng pagan Gentiles sa letter na ito, and how God's judgment is upon them. Kung makikita mo yung last section ng chapter 1 hanggang 32, iniisa-isa niya yung mga kasalanan o immoralidad ng mga tao na tiga Rome. Okay? So, from here, sa gabi na ito, Paul will continue to address God's wrath to the unrighteous. But this time, hindi na po sa mga Gentile pagans. Actually, i-address niya yung unrighteousness ng mga religious people. Mga tao na kung saan morally matuwid, pero morally self-righteous. So mga morally self-righteous, and explains that the gospel of hope both addresses itong mga issues na ito. That's why Paul reminds yung mga taga-Romans and reminds us tonight that all kinds of sinners are condemned before the righteous God and are in desperate need of God's kindness and grace. All kinds of sinners are condemned before the righteous God, righteous judge, and are in desperate need of God's kindness and grace. Itong maiksing passage na to is divided into two points or headings. Number one, the kind of people who are judged, verses 1 hanggang 3. And number two, the kindness of the judge to the people, verses 4 hanggang 5. The kind of people who are judged, and the kindness of the judge to the people, who are judged, and who is the judge. Basically, ang points natin ngayong gabi. Number one, the kind of people who are judged. So chapter 1, kung magbabalik na tayo, if you have your Bibles, verses 18 to 21, pinaliwanag ni Paul na nagngingit-ngit sa galit ang Diyos at nananatili ito yung galit na ito sa mga pagan Gentiles. Because even though God has made himself known to them through the created order or yung tinatawag through nature, they still rejected God. They still have not given him the thanks and honor that God deserves. They rather worship the created than the creator. So, at dahil dyan, sila ay nasa ilalim ng judgment ng Panginoon. Sabi nga ni Paul sa chapter 1, verse 21, kung babalik ko kayo, flip a few pages sa Bible ninyo, or slide, sabi sa Romans 1, 20, so they, the Gentiles, are without excuse. Walang excuse saan? Wala silang excuse kasi pinakita ng Panginoon kung sino siya. Through nature. Bagamat yung nature does not, is not sufficient to save one soul, but it does a pointer, an awareness, na ang Diyos mismo ay buhay at totoo. Now, nung sinusulat ni Paul ito, at binabasa ito sa harapan ng congregation marahil, ng Rome, mga Romans, malamang yung congregation na kung saan yung section ng Jews, naririnig nila ito, marahil siguro sinasabi nila, amen, tama yan po. Sige pa, Paul. Tirahin mo pa yung mga Gentiles na yan. Alam mo, alita na nangyayari sa loob, di ba? Sinasabi nga, yan ang lagi ko sinasabi sa kanila. Sige pa, Paul. Sige pa, preach it. Amen. That's right. Yan yung mga siguro mga naririnig sa loob ng church habang sinasabi ni Paul na to. Marahil sinasabi na, tagal na namin sinasabi sa kanila yan. Tama yung sinasabi mo, Paul. Sinasabi rin namin yan. They are without excuse. And I think Paul knows that while he was writing this. That's why he shocked them sa chapter 2, verse 1. Ano ba nakalagay sa chapter 2, verse 1? Basahin po natin. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. Parang inulit niya ulit ito, pero for a different audience. Ang majority ng mga scholars naniniwala na si Paul was addressing this to all the hearers. Okay? But he is specifically addressing yung chapter 2 sa mga Jews. Kung ang chapter 1 sa Gentiles, sa chapter 2 sa mga Jews. Ang pagsabi ni Paul, everyone who judges, could mean na ang mga Jews who are judging yung mga Gentile brothers and sisters nila based on the law. Na kung saan ang mga Gentiles naman, walang kaalam-alam kung ano ba yung Mosaic law na ito. So when Paul said to the Gentiles in chapter 1, verse 20, you have no excuse because you have knowledge of God through nature, dito naman sa chapter 2, verse 1, he also accused the Jews na sila din have no excuse. Kasi they have the knowledge of God through the law, through the scripture. So both are guilty, both are in danger sa judgment ng Panginoon. Marahil ang mga Jews na nakarinig nito ay naguntang. Nagulat marahil sila. They were shocked kasi they thought, na bakit kami yung sinasabihan ni Paul dito? Eh, kami yung covenant people. Dapat kami yung pinupuri niya. Dapat yung manatili na lang sa Gentiles sa pag-aatake. Hindi kami dapat kasama rito. So Paul confronted and accused them na sila rin ay guilty. Now, itong approach na ito ay similar sa ginawa sa Old Testament sa ni Prophet Nathan, kung naalala niyo yung 2 Samuel chapter 12, na after David committed adultery kay Bathsheba and orchestrated yung murder ng kanyang asawa na si Uriah, kinumpronta siya ni Nathan the prophet. And yung way ng pagkumpronta niya kay David is not diretso kagad kung hindi through a story, ay through a parable. Ano ba loob ng parable na to? Ang kwento ng kanyang sinabi is may isang mahirap na mama na kung saan may alaga na isang tupa or lamb. Tapos may isang mayaman na mama na kung saan libo-libo ang kanyang tupa at or lamb. So one day, ang ginawa ng mayaman na mama is kinuha niya yung nag-iisang lamb o tupa ng mahirap na mama. Kinatay ito at pinahain sa kanyang mga bisita. Nung narinig ni David yung istorya na, biglang umakyat ang kanyang dugo at nagalit. Kung sino man yung mama na yan, deserves to die. Yun ang kanyang claim sa 2 Samuel. And immediately, si Nathan said, "You are that man." Ikaw yung mamang yon. I could have imagined yung shock ni David na yon. Because his sin was exposed right in front of him and was struck powerfully and deeply by it. Just to give a side application sa passage na to, mga kaibigan, naranasan nyo na ba to? Naranasan nyo na ba that your sins were exposed right in front of you? Maari siguro through reading the Bible, you felt that, uy, wow, bigat na ito. Or someone who is preached a sermon that impacted, exposed your heart. Or maybe you're listening to a song that convicted you. Or someone who loves you confronted you of your sins. Na kung saan you were deeply and powerfully affected by it. If ganun nangyari, that's the working power of the Holy Spirit. He causes us to see our sins. Because by nature, we don't see our sins. We rejoice over our sins. We laugh about our sins. It is only by the grace and mercy ng Panginoon that we can see it. And the proper response to that is mourning, lamenting, grieving, hating that sin, repenting, turning away from it, asking forgiveness, and reconciling. We'll see that later on sa passage na ito. Going back sa passage natin, this was probably Paul's intention sa style niya ng kanyang writing sa chapter 2 when he was addressing yung mga Jews. He wants to shock them. He wants to shock the Jews na sila ay guilty din sa kasalanan at nasa ilalim din ng judgment ng Panginoon. That's why he said, "You Jews have no excuse like the Gentiles." So ang tanong, saan ang mga Jews walang excuse? Anong argument? I want us to see yung argument ni Paul dito. No? Actually, mahirap itong passage na ito. Okay? Saan guilty ang Jews? Anong kasalanan ang ginawa nila that Paul is saying you have no excuse? Well, tignan natin yung second verse at saka yung chapter, verse 3. "For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, practice the very same things. So they are without excuse." Verse 2. "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things." So ang sagot ba dito ay guilty ang mga Jews sa pag-judge sa mga Gentiles? Yung ba ang dahilan? Yung ba naging discussion sa Bible study groups niyo? Ang sagot dito, in one sense, oo. Sinabi niya eh. Pero at the same time, hindi rin. So this is a yes and no answer. Kung mali ang ginagawa ng mga Jews sa pag-judge ng mga Gentiles, then mas mali at mas guilty si Paul. Kasi kung babasahin mo yung chapter 1 at chapter 2, parehong Jews and Gentiles ang kanyang ginudge. Pero hindi siya inaccused ng Panginoon. Hindi siya nagkasala doon. So okay lang na nagjudge. Tama lang na ginawa ni Paul ito to pass judgment sa kasalanan ng Gentiles and Jews. So saan guilty ang Jews? Ano yung kasalanan ng Jews dito na sinasabi ni Paul? Well, we see it on two grounds. Number one, by being hypocrites. That's one. Hypocrito. And it was prayed kanina ni Brother Bon kanina in his prayer of confession. Kasi they were judging the Gentiles on the standard of the law na kung saan sila rin ay ginagawa nila. Guilty din sila. Lakas sila makapansin yung ginagawa rin pala nila. At saan ba sila guilty? Tingnan natin yung chapter 1 kung saan sila guilty. Ito yung listahan. Verses 29 to 32 of chapter 1. You got to flip back or slide back or look up on the screen. Ito yung listahan na kung saan sila guilty. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. So, ang sinasabi nila, sinasabi ni Paul sa kanila, nangangaral kayo na nangangaral dyan, pero kayo rin naman ginagawa ninyo. So, guilty din kayo sa mga ginajudge nyo sa kanila. Kaya you have no excuse sa harapan ng Panginoon, you hypocrites. So, anong ginawa ng mga Jews na passing judgment or judging the Gentiles? So, ang ginagawa ng Jews dito who, na kung saan they are passing judgment or judging the Gentiles ay hindi humali. Let me correct, hindi humali. It's not mali in and of itself. Hindi ito ang argument ni Paul na yung magja-judge ka. Kasi tama lang ang ginawa ni Paul na i-judge both Jews and Gentiles sa kasalanan. So, in line with this thinking, and thinking about our contemporary times, this begs the question na madalas ng kultura natin tinatanong is this, mali ba mag-judge ng ibang tao? Mali ba mag-judge ng ibang tao? Ito po ang paboritong mantra, if you may, ng mga both Christians and non-Christians. Madalas sabihin, huwag mo nga ako i-judge, sobra ka naman, masyado kang judgmental dyan, huwag ka mag-judge. And ang favorite go-to verse dito is nasa Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, from the mouth of Jesus, ito ang ginagamit nila. This is what they said, judge not that you be not judged. But Christians, God has called us to judge. We are to judge like Jesus. We are to judge like Paul and the apostles. At kung tuloy-tuloyin mo ang Matthew chapter 7, alam mo kung ano makikita mo? Jesus judged yung mga haters niya. You know how he judged them? Ang tawag niya sa kanila, hypocrites, dogs, at pigs. Yun ang tawag niya sa verses 5 to 6. At one point, sinabi niya, don't judge, and all of a sudden, he judges. So there's a right way to judge. Okay? Sa passing judgment itself, hindi ito mali. In fact, ine-expect ito ng Panginoon sa atin. We are expected to evaluate behavior and discerningly make theological and moral judgments sa ibang tao at sa ating sarili. Gusto ito ng Panginoon. So, ingatan po natin na basa-basa na lang tayo matatakot ako sa huwag ka mag-judge. Ang ayaw ng Panginoon na judgment ay ang judgment na corrupted with pride. Na ang puso natin ay sinasabi, we are better than them. Yun ang pangit na klaseng motibo when judging. At hindi tayo guilty of the same sin. Sila lang yun, hindi ako. So tama lang sa mga Christians to tell others na kapag hindi sila nagtiwala kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa kaligtasan at kapatawaran ng kasalanan, sila po ay i-judge ng Panginoon to hell. Tama pong sabihin yan. May warrant kayo sa scripture and your heart goes out to them running to different gods. Hindi humali yun. Teka pastor, hindi ba po parang ang arrogante naman sabihin nyo na si Jesus lang at hindi yung ibang relihiyon ay mali? Ay talaga arrogante po yun. Kung mali. Arrogante po yun kung hindi totoo. Pero totoo eh. Totoo na si Kristo lang ang tanging daan. So saying this to friends and colleagues and family members is a loving and right thing to do. Kahit akusahan tayo na judgmental tayo. This is the very gospel that we live for. This is the very gospel that we die for. This is the very gospel that should unite the church in Rome. This is the very gospel that unite us sa crossroads. Mga kaibigan, Huwag po tayo magpadala sa takot. Okay? Natatawagin tayong judgmental o nag-judge ka lagi and then frustrate us to calling out sin. Kasi may mga tao na ang tingin nila sa pagiging loving ay kapag tinolerate mo yung kasalanan nila. Dapat hindi mo na sinasabi yan. Alam mo na naman, parang hindi ka nasanay sa kanya. Dapat hindi mo na pinansin yun. O alam ko na yan, huwag mo na. Dahil kung masyado ka mapaghusgay, ikaw na naman to si Holy. Oh. Nandiyan na naman si Holy. Si Pastor, si Pastora, nandiyan. Si Brother, si Sister. And you are mocked because of that. But that, one of the greatest things, greatest expressions of love, kapatid, is telling the truth with grace sa mga kaibigan at mahal natin sa buhay who is in sin. Hindi po ito, yung pagtotolerate sa mali ng mga mahal natin sa buhay is not biblical love. In fact, sabi sa Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently. But watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Even within the community of the church, hindi lang sa labas. When you see a brother and sister dito sa crossroads who are in sin, we are to lovingly, discerningly, boldly approach and tell them the truth with love. You are not loving them kung hindi ho natin sila ikokorek. Eh, Pastor, magagalit siya, hindi niya ako papansin. And then, it's okay as long as you've done it out of love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Lord deal with that person. Okay? And by the way, nakalagay dito sa Galatians 6, so gently. Don't you know that's a surgical term? It's a surgical term na ibig sabihin slowly putting back a dislocated bone. So when you confront or address yung sin ng kapatiran natin, slowly putting it back to place. Kasi naranasan nyo na malakjo, di ba? Ako naranasan ko dahil mahina yung jaw ko eh. And pag nagkakaroon ng lock, pag pinipilit ko, gusto ko na i-restore ka agad, you know it's not gonna work. Medyo magkakaroon din ng ibang damage. May certain massages or if not, kung hindi kaya, punta ka sa doktor. Pero these things hindi binibigla, kung hindi it will cause more pain. It's the same thing when confronting sin sa mga kapatiran sa Panginoon, gently. Gently with love. When we are to judge or to call out sin sa life ng ibang tao, it should be grounded by Scripture. We should be led by the Spirit of God. It should be motivated by love, executed in humility and grace, and with the purpose of serving that person well. Yun ang pinaka-motive nun. Friends, what's keeping you in calling out someone's sin? In calling out someone's sin, to put another question here, to add to another question, in calling out someone's sin, are you quick to judge them? Are you quick to judge them but slow to judge yourself? Are we more concerned by their sins and less affected by our own? So judging itself ay hindi mali. Ang mga Jews ay condemned sa sarili nilang kasalanan. So Paul did not condemn the Jews dahil sila ay nag-judge kung hindi sila ay hypocrites. Pangalawa, Paul condemned them kasi they are guilty of practicing that same sin. Ginagawa rin nila. In short, they were judged or condemned by Paul because they were sinning. They were indulged sa kasalanan na yun. Ito ang masakit. They don't see yung kasalanan nila. Ang nakikita nila yung kasalanan ng iba. Yun ang minamagnify nila. Yung kasalanan ng iba. Wala silang pinagkaiba sa mga Gentiles. They are also guilty of sin. Tignan nyo yung verse 3. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? So parang sinasabi ni Paul dito, oh, kayo mga Jews, amen kayo ng amen, tungo kayo ng tungo dyan, pag ina-address ko yung kasalanan ng mga Gentiles, tungo kayo ng tungo, nag-a-agree kayo, kayo, kamusta ba kayo? Sige, kung punta tayo dyan, nag-a-agree kayo. O sige, siguro nag-a-agree kayo na God is whole, is a holy judge. Tama? O nag-a-agree din kayo that God hates sin and sinners and will judge all kinds of sinners. Malamang nag-a-agree rin kayo dyan. Kasi hindi siya righteous or unfair, hindi righteous or unfair ang Diyos kung ito tolerate niya ang kasalanan ng isang grupo at yung isang grupo hindi. So yun parang sinasabi ni Paul sa mga Jews. Ang Diyos sa passage na ito ay paniwalang paniwala na hindi sila makakasama sa final judgment ng Panginoon. Paniwalang paniwala sila na exempted sila dito dahil sila yung covenant people. Sila ay laging nasa sinagoge. Sila ay laging nagre-recite ng Torah and memorizing it. Sila ay religious at gumagawa ng mga mabubuti. Imposible na makakasama kami dyan. Yung Gentile, yes, kami know. Kaya ano sinasabi mo dyan, Paul? Para sa mga Jews na ito, ang mga Gentiles who worship idols are immoral at dapat lang i-judge ng Diyos. But Paul is saying, yes, God will judge them, but God will also judge those who worship themselves and trust their self-righteousness. Hindi dinideny ni Paul na sila ay covenant people. Makikita niya sa chapter 3. Pero ang mga claims na ito do not exempt them sa consequences ng kanilang mga kasalanan. God will still judge them. Mga kaibigan, walang pinagkaiba ito sa atin ngayon. It doesn't mean I grew up in a Christian home, attending church every week, all right? Been obedient to my parents, faithful sa aking spouse, never cheated at work, never cheated at school. I have been a responsible citizen dito sa Dubai. Ay hindi tayo makasalanan. And I will be exempted from the consequence of sin. Hindi po eh. Hindi po yun ang basihan. God will judge us for our sins. Either we are morally corrupt, or morally self-righteous. God will judge all kinds of sinners. Karamihan sa atin, paniwalang paniwala tayo na kaya nating gawin ang lahat ng gusto nating gawin sa ating buhay kahit ito'y mali na at nagkakasala na tayo at makalaman na ito na wala itong eternal na consequences. Meron po. Paninong pala tayo na pwede kong gawin to at wala naman judgment. Tignan mo ang ginagawa ko. Ilang beses ako nagnakaw, ilang beses ako nagsinungaling, ilang beses ako nanloko ng tao, pero wala ba? Yumaman ako. O nasaan ang judgment ng Diyos? Saan? Probably you'll hear conversations like that. Paano nga ba, Pastor? Well, we'll answer that sa second point. Listen, I've been in several funerals already in my ministry life and in one of the sobering things na pwede kong puntahan. And sometimes there are people na kung saan just to provide encouragement, they will tell na lahat ng mga taong yumao ay nasa Panginoon Hesukristo, ay nasa Panginoon sa heaven. Even though na hindi nila alam ang testimony ng kanilang buhay, and sadly, even pastors teach this. There will be a judgment, mga kaibigan. There will be a final judgment. In fact, God's judgment sa chapter 1 is already happening. If God allows you to the desires of your flesh, that's judgment. Okay, naman parating na ang judgment, we believe na, sige pastor, sabihin na natin parating na ang judgment, naniniwala ako na God will forgive me because God is love. Kaya maliligtas ako sa final judgment ng Panginoon. Parang yung last words ng isang famous na poet na si Heinrich Heine, ito ang sinabi niya, of course, God will forgive me. That's His job. Antindi, ano? Trabaho ng Diyos yan. Tama lang, magpatawad siya. We may not say this, but in our hearts, we're saying na as if walang judgment in the way we live. The self-righteous Jews had missed Paul's point. In fact, they missed God's point. They took God's mercy lightly. They took God's mercy lightly. And let's move to our second and last point. The kindness of God, the kindness of the judge to the people. Verse 4, do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Paul is saying, hindi nyo nauunawaan, hindi nyo na-appreciate na kayong mga Diyos ang forbearance and yung patience ng Panginoon sa inyo. Meron kasi silang false security na pinaniniwalaan. Akala nila the reason why God is showing His kindness to them at nagiging patient sa kasalanan nila at na, kasi natutuwa ang Panginoon sa kanila. Kasi sila yung chosen people. Yun ang akala nila. They think that they are at peace with God, pero ang totoo niyan, they are not at peace with God. They are at war with Him because of their sins. Pero naniniwala sila na hindi. Paniwala sila na okay sila sa Panginoon. They assume, yun yung language na ginamit dito, presume. Nakita yan sa verse 4? They assume na dahil sila ay nagbabasa ng Torah, externally obeying the law of Moses, faithfully attending synagogue, hindi parehas na mga Gentiles sa kagaya ng mga sexual na immoral, and from there, they're judging yung mga Gentiles using God's law. Paniwalang paniwala sila, they have God's favor, that we are at peace with God. Hindi kami i-judge ng Panginoon. They assume that they have God's favor and mercy. Ang totoo niyan, hindi naman. They have God's wrath. They were rejecting His kindness, spitting on His mercy by trusting on their self-righteousness. Ang sinabi ni Paul dito na the fact na hindi sila agad na judge ng Panginoon, na hindi sila pinatay ng Panginoon there and then at tinapon sa impyerno, and patiently waited for them to repent is a testimony of God's kindness to them. And dapat lang mamangha sila sa kindness at kabutihan ng Diyos that would cause them to repent. God was kind and patient with them, but He will not wait forever. There will be a day that He will judge them. Friends, is this true to you tonight? Just because you grew up in a Christian home, laging umaaten ng church, maraming Bible verses ang na-memorize, laging nasa fellowship with believers, we know and speak Christianese or Christian words, we assume that we are under the favor of God. Or we say, I am being used by God. Marami akong involvement sa ministry. Maraming taong lumalapit sa akin for counseling. Marami akong dinidisciple. Maraming nabibless sa mga gifts ko, sa mga talents ko, how I share yung aking mga treasures, how I spend my time with the Lord. They assume that God's favor and mercy is on them. Saying, I am peace with God. Or, look how God is blessing me sa work ko. Sa finances namin, wala kaming problema. Sa health namin, hindi kami ibang sa beses nagka-COVID. Sa relationship namin, lahat yumayabong, lahat masaya kami. Surely God's mercy, surely God's peace ay nasa amin. Surely I am under the favor of God. Surely I am a real Christian. Look, I'm a pastor. I'm a deacon. I'm a Bible study leader being powerfully used by God to save souls for Jesus. Yung pala, mali pa lang, eh? Or usher souls kay Jesus. Surely I have God's favor and mercy. Mga kaibigan, if we think that we have received God's mercy, God's grace, and favor dahil sa mga good works na sinabi ko ngayon lang, or sa mga achievements and successes and blessings na na-receive natin, then we are dead wrong. We are judged kasama ng mga Pharisees, kasama ng mga Gentile pagans, kasama ng mga Jews who are trusting their self-righteousness. Yes, galing lahat yan sa Panginoon dahil sa kanyang kabutihan, ang tawag po dyan is common grace. Pero if we assume that we are under the mercy and favor of God dahil sa mga ito, then we have taken God's mercy for granted. Kung ganoon, we have rejected the kindness and mercy of God. And if we continue to bank on our self-righteousness and current blessings o yung estado o position mo ngayon, we are in danger. We are not at peace with God. We are at war with God. Kung ganon, we are hopeless. Yan ang paniniwala ng mga Jews. That's why Paul gave them a warning. Tingnan niyo yung verse 5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Friends, the reason why God has not judged you yet, maybe you're saying, nako, kung hindi naman ako, wala naman talaga Diyos, tingnan mo, ang dami kong ginagawang mali. You know why God is not judging you yet? Hindi nangangahulugan that there will be no judgment, but it means that He's being patient. That He is being patient with you. He's being patient with you and you and you. He's being patient with me. Kaibigan, hanggang kailan mo patitigasin ang puso mo sa Panginoon? The fact that God is blessing you sa trabaho mo, that God has given you good health, kahit wala kang vaccine or vaccinated ka, that God has somehow placed your family in a season of peace, in relationships mo maganda, still you chose na patigasin ang puso mo sa Kanya. God is being patient with you because this is God's kindness sa iyo. He's being patient. He's being kind. But God will not wait forever sa iyo. He will judge on that final day when Jesus comes back, and it will be a righteous one and you will have no excuse. But as of now, wala pa yung final day. God is still being patient with you, extending His patience and kindness to you. Pero alam mo ba na God is not obligated to be patient with you? Diyos siya. This is mercy. This is grace. That's why verse 4 invites us, invites us in His kindness to repent from our sins of self-righteousness and self-sufficiency. Alam ng Diyos na mayroon tayong matigas at prideful na puso. We are quick to highlight other people's sins but are blinded by our own. That's us. We have taken God's mercy for granted and rejected His kindness. That's why God will judge us for our sins, whether ito'y blatantly immoral or self-righteous. God will judge all kinds of sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, did not treat us as our sins deserve, showed us the greatest kindness that we could ever deserve. At ano yung kindness na yan? Well, let Titus chapter 3 speak for us. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, this is Jesus. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, Jesus is the kindness of God to us. He lived the life that we couldn't, and He was judged on the cross that we deserve. The judge did not hold back. He heavily judged the Son for our sins, past, present, future, even saints ng Old Testament and nasa Panginoon. He died for those sins. He was heavily judged. And then He died. He was buried. But on the third day, He was risen from the grave, a testimony that His wrath have been satisfied. And the offering for sin is accepted. Friends, stop hardening your hearts. Confess and repent from this sin and trust Jesus Christ at yung ginawa niya sa cross for salvation. Friends, this good news of the gospel ay hindi lamang pang-Kristiyano. Hindi lang pang hindi-Kristiyano, kung hindi pang-Kristiyano din. The gospel is salvation for non-believers. It is sanctification for believers. This means, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, whether you're a member or not, we should exemplify a life that is turning away from sin. We should be exemplifying a life that is continuously repenting from sin, pinagsisisihan, tinatalikuran ng kasalanan, and a continued trust in Jesus Christ sa ating araw-araw. This means also when somebody calls out or yung term dito judges you scripturally, we are quick to listen and slow to speak. Because knowing we have not yet arrived, there will come a time na matatapos na yung mga rebuke-rebuke na yan. There will come a time na kung saan hindi na natin kailangan mag-judge because of sin. And that's the time that we will become with Jesus when He returns. Christians, we should live our lives with thankful and grateful hearts, celebrating on what God has done for us, because we sinners of all kinds have been spared by His grace. The reason why we see our sins and repent and mourn and hate it, it's because of His kindness, His grace. It is the kindness of God na buksan ang ating mata at makita kung gaano kapangit, kung gaano kalaswa ang kasalanan natin. Na kung saan ngayon, Kristiyano ka, naririnig mo na ang sarili mo, ganito pala ako magsalita dati. Marami pa rin ako nasasabing hindi maganda. That's why a Christian is always repenting, always receiving correction. How great is His kindness and grace? Let us be reminded that all kinds of sinners are condemned before the righteous judge and are in desperate need of His kindness and grace. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, sa grace and kindness in Your sa amin. We don't deserve Your kindness. We deserve Your wrath. But because You are a God who is rich in mercy and full of love, You did not just overlook our sins. You gave Your Son and You judged the Son in our place. Such great love, such great mercy, such beautiful kindness that has been embodied by Your Son. May we continuously be amazed sa grace ninyo sa amin. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.